97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with our producer, Carl Middleman, who's filling in for Chad this week. Of course, my co-host, Bo Matthews, is with us as well. And as we mentioned on the show this week, joining us for this podcast exclusive discussion, once again on the show is professional fisherman Mike Marfell. Mike, always great to talk to you, my friend. How are you?
I am awesome. Working from home, living the dream, wearing the same Josie's Wales 2020 shirt all week. So
take a bath.
Cutting down laundry that way.
Yeah. So before we get into any specific stories or discussions, just overall, how has your summer been? And have you got a chance to get out in the water a whole bunch? And if so, how have you fared out there?
I have not. I have avoided it like I usually do through the summer, A, due to boat traffic, B, due to I coach a crap ton of baseball. Mm. So I usually take summers off anyway, getting ready to go on vacation next week. And when I come back, I'm going to start getting back out on the water to get ready for a bunch of tournaments we have stacked on top of each other that are being made up from the spring. You'll enjoy this, Tony. I'm doing a tournament going out of Truman, a tournament on Truman on Saturday, and then the very next day we go Lake of the Ozarks out of Warsaw way up the river. Two separate tournaments. That's how they're stacking them on top of each other. So wow. I am kind of freaked out. I don't know how you practice for that. I guess I practice Truman because I haven't been on it for 3 years and then make a long run.
Yeah, no kidding.
At Lake of the Ozarks. But if you've never taken a tournament out of Warsaw, have you ever been up to Warsaw?
I don't think so.
On Lake of the Ozarks?
I don't think so, huh?
Yeah, it's a 94-mile mark or whatever.
Yeah, no.
It's narrow, so you're pushing 150 boats out of there running up that river. It's a little hair-raising.
I bet.
It'll be all good. I mean, it's a river.
What's it like up there? Is it any different than
river.
The rest of the lake? Yeah, so it's
very different. There's sandbars and it's narrow. It's a lot different. And a lot of guys will run from PB2 up there to get away from the crowds during a regular, a tournament that goes out of PB2. I don't see any reason to run, 65 miles.
Right.
But you're passing a lot of keeper fish to get there, but a lot of people do it to get out of the crowd.
And probably back into their comfort zone.
Some guys just love fishing the river.
Yeah,
that's just like what they like to do. But right. I'm kind of freaked out about that. Like it's just weird. You're going to fish one lake and then switch gears and jump over and fish the other lake. So I'm super excited about getting back out there. My friends, the Tin Horse, and my buddy Dave Holm, they've been fishing all those little Southern Illinois lakes and just killing it this summer. I mean, just crushing it.
That's great.
It's amazing how many – you always ask me about little lakes you can fish. Well, my buddy Dave, and I'm not going to mention the name of the lake because he kicked my ass. But
you can find them. You can find these places all around the area to fish.
Oh, yes, you can. If you see a lake and it's got water and vegetation and you can get a boat in it, do it.
Right.
Dave's putting a full-size bass cat in this little boat, backing it in with a Honda Accord on a gravel ramp. That's how dedicated Dave is.
And, that's great.
He's having 30, 40 fish days. He's caught one over 8, several over 6.
Dang.
And he said, I never see another boat out here. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, me and him used to do that when I told you about the Dead Man Hole, which was a little place off of the Mississippi River. And I dropped my full size Ranger in there. We put the Suburban in 4 low and there was no boat ramp. We just go for it. And that was a bad move because when people see a full size Ranger bass boat in a little lake, that kind of a hint that maybe there's fish in there.
Yeah, no kidding.
So now you go by there and there might be 4 or 5 boats out there at a time. So
that's funny.
But nobody's dumb enough to put a full size fiberglass bass boat in there. But hey, me and Dave were, and we did it on the regular.
That's hilarious.
It's the only boat I had, Tony. I had to use it.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead,
is it because you can reach any part of that lake from the shore? It's like, why put a boat in there at all?
No, you can't reach. That's the point. You can't reach.
Oh.
And I'm deathly afraid of snakes. And there's like zoo quality snakes all around that place. And there was no way I'd fish that from the shore. I'd be too busy looking at the ground.
Zoo quality.
Yeah, there's zoo quality snakes in that around that place. I got hung up on a stump in there one time, Tony, and went to get my crankbait off and stopped because there was the biggest water moccasin I'd ever seen coiled up on the top of that stump. And I just cut it off and moved on. We'll get her another day.
Right. I could donate that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got it. It was just several days. Next time we went out there,
gotcha.
I got her off there.
Gotcha.
I did check for the snake before we got her off there. So,
how dedicated are you to getting every lure that gets snagged? Like, I've fished with guys that don't want to stop what they're doing. You know, they're not just going to cut and leave, but you know, they're only going to spend a certain amount of time and effort to get a snag or one that maybe got caught on a shoreline or something. How dedicated are you to getting that lure back?
That's a loaded question. It just depends. If it's a tournament, not very.
Yeah.
If I've got fish, if I'm hung up in a brush pile I've been catching fish off, I just break it off.
Yeah.
And it depends on what it is. If it's a $25 mega bass jerkbait, I'm pretty dedicated to getting that back.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? It just depends on what it is.
And no doubt.
Tournament or no tournament. If I'm in a tournament, time is money.
Right.
So I'll give it a college effort, and if it doesn't come, we'll break it off.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to disturb. If it's an area you're catching fish in.
Yeah, you don't want to mess
that
up.
You don't want to mess with that too much.
Right.
You know, you don't want to disturb it, so.
So I sent you a picture.
Yeah, it just depends.
I sent you a picture.
I've seen that.
Yeah, okay. We're not going to talk about
it
yet. We talked about. Well, we're going to get into that in a minute. I want to save, because I want to save the fun stuff for the end. And for people that listen to the show this week, we talked about it on the show a little bit. This picture of a carp from England. We're going to get into that, but I want to use the fun stuff for the end because I want to have a little bit of a serious discussion with you right now. Tragic news from the Lake of the Ozarks earlier this week. There was another accident down there. Unfortunately, boat accidents are not irregular.
Way too common.
Yeah, way too common at the Lake of the Ozarks for many reasons. Some we might get into right now, but somebody here from the St. Louis area was tragically killed in a boating accident at the Lake of the Ozarks earlier this week.
I consider her a friend. So
yeah. Yeah, I didn't know how much you wanted to talk about
that whole
tournament
organization is like family to every one of us that fishes.
Yeah, yes.
Anglers in Action and the Big Bass Bash.
Yeah,
so
the people involved in that, some of the victims were very much involved in the fishing industry at the Lake of the Ozarks. Correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. For like the last 14 years, they've been the prominent tournament organization, team tournaments at Lake of the Ozarks, Grand Lake, Table Rock.
It's super sad.
I was upset. I mean, I was devastated and shocked, like, this isn't happening. It's not somebody I know. And then sure enough, it was. And then, you know, you're kind of grieving. And then I turned to pissed. It's like, and this is so avoidable, you know, like me and you talked, if you got the money and the brain power to make the money to afford a big boat and a condo at the lake, don't you have the brain power to maybe have a glass of water or two between each drink, or maybe just designate somebody to drive the boat, or, you know, I don't know all the details of the accident yet, but man, it's just, I've had too many close calls down there myself. That's the reason I don't fish night tournaments anymore. It's just,
and that's
working.
What I wanted to get into, because you mentioned that you didn't, that you take part of the reason that you take the summer off, especially at the Lake of the Ozarks, is boat traffic.
I like a life.
Yeah. Is boat traffic. And, What do you think can be done to limit some of these problems? There's water patrol out there. Do they not do enough to stop the
drunk driving?
There's
not enough of them. You'd need hundreds of them, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You need hundreds of them.
What about things like speed limits and that sort of stuff?
Speed limit's a great idea. I told my wife this. To me, it just makes sense, right? A half hour after sunset, we'll give you a half hour to get back. You know, that you can run on plane or whatever. But how about a half hour after sunset? It's 30 mile an hour. And then after midnight, we all know nothing good happens after midnight. It's idle only. If you ain't got your drunken butt back home, you're going to have to idle.
Mm.
They're trying to get the speed limit down to 10 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's what I saw that. Saying. Yeah, that's exactly right, Bo. I saw that the family was lobbying for the speed limit at night to be lowered to 10. I think currently it is 30, Mike. Actually, I think it technically is after dark 30 miles an hour on the lake. But as you just mentioned, I've had a boat at the Lake of the Ozarks for years, and I've been on hundreds of nighttime boat rides. I have never once seen anyone pulled over for speeding, and I've never heard any story from anyone ever. I've never heard even a story about somebody being pulled over for speeding. So I think technically it is 30, which to me is still way too fast at night. I mean, I don't go 30 during the day, mostly because if I did, I'd be...
You're down there in the summer.
I'd be catching air every...
In your boat.
Exactly. I can't my boat. You're exactly right. I can't my boat go 30 miles an hour.
And boats don't have headlights. You can't see nothing. You got the marker lights, but that's it. And that makes no sense.
Yeah, the lights,
it's,
though...
It's so sad.
If you've ever been out there at night, especially Bo, you're close. You're my age or so. It's like my eyes aren't good enough at night, and all the dock lights in the back, your depth perception's all jacked. You know,
sure.
Now you throw a little booze on top of that. Come on, man.
Yeah, I think,
and 10 miles an hour to me is just not slow. I mean, those big boats at 10 miles an hour create such waves.
Yeah,
that's
and was this
like
boat a big boat?
Bow speed for one of them.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know 100%, but I'm pretty sure it was.
No, I can't remember the lengths off the top of my head, but both boats were pretty big boats. I can't remember off the top of my head, but both were pretty big boats. And you know, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I'm just saying, like my team partner has a big Regal 48 footer,
mm-hmm.
and if you take that thing and go 10 miles an hour, it's creating probably more wake than it would be up on plane.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just don't think, and if you want to do 10 miles an hour or 30, I just think after midnight, let's just shut it down. Let's just, hey, you got to idle. Just idle. You're in a boat with air conditioning. If you're in one of them big cabin cruisers or whatever, you can,
right.
Here's an idea. Throw the anchor and crash. Go to the back of the cove somewhere and sleep it off.
And it's so terrible because it's beautiful out there at night. And
it is
for a guy like me with a little fishing ski. I like to take nighttime boat rides because it's not nearly as rough, and it's so pretty. It's so nice out there with all these big houses and all lit up and everything. It's a great time to be on the water, in my opinion. But yeah,
absolutely.
You got to keep your head on a swivel. You got to keep your eyes open for those lights, which I have never had a problem with. And I don't understand when, you know, people are like, well, you hear like a person say, I never saw him. Well, if you never saw him, then you weren't looking, because I get that there's lots of lights and all that. But if you're not, if you never saw him, that means either you are impaired or you don't know what to look for. And if you don't know what to look for or you're impaired, you shouldn't be driving a boat at night, because it's not that difficult to see what's going on out there.
It's not if you're paying attention.
If you're paying attention, exactly.
People driving cars that don't pay attention, so a boat is even worse.
Right.
There's no brake.
You're right.
I was just going to say that texting and boating is probably a thing, too. Because everybody's got to have their gadget in their hand.
Sure.
And that's exactly why
pictures.
I quit riding that's exactly why I quit riding motorcycles on the street, because the texting and driving, it changed the whole game, and I was done playing with any of that. Because you could drive down a road in your 18-wheeler and see vehicles swerving all the time. And so I'm sure texting and boating is a thing, too.
No doubt.
Selfies and boating's probably a thing.
Exactly. Pictures, taking pictures, because it is. It's beautiful out there. So you got your camera ready, and you're taking pictures of your family in the boat, and you're taking pictures of, other things. Just the scenery around, and you're not paying attention. But you've got to pay attention.
It's when you're driving a boat, it should be 100% of your focus.
Yeah. I never.
It should be 100%. I'm head on a swivel.
Yeah,
and I'm driving something that's very fast, very nimble. I've been doing it since I was 13. I mean, I take it super seriously because I told you, I like to live.
Right.
I have four kids.
Right. Right.
I told you, I've told that to people that get in my boat when I started fishing with a co-angler again for the first time this year. Guy would get in my boat. I could tell he was a little nervous, you know, had maybe been in a bass boat. I'm like, we're going to be hauling butt here, dude, but trust me, I want to make it home tonight, and yeah. I'm not going to do anything that puts either one of us in danger. 100% of my focus is going to be on making sure we get back.
Absolutely. And Mike, didn't you say there's a Kickstarter that you saw for?
Yeah, it's a GoFundMe.
A GoFundMe.
You can go to, I think if you type in that, you know, like go to the Lake Expo, there's an article with a link there.
Very good.
They've raised about $74,000 in 3 days. So,
wow.
Almost 79 now, I'm looking
wow,
at it.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Nice. It was 74 this morning, Bo, so that's awesome. So,
yeah, awesome.
People need to do that. I mean, mm-hmm. 100 grand is their goal, but that's not even, I mean, come on. That's we all know that doesn't last long. And when you got hospital bills and you don't have a mother or wife anymore, so.
Right. Wow.
And they're not out of the woods yet. I mean, neither one of them have, they don't even know that their mom and wife's dead yet. So,
yeah.
I just read that. Just so heartbreaking.
Yeah, that is.
It is.
There was another crash you guys were talking about, too. A big, what is it, a scarab or is it, what, a cigarette boat
like
up on the rocks?
A scarab or a cigarette type boat, yeah. Go fast.
Yeah.
It's a go fast.
It's a go fast boat.
Well, if the picture, when I brought it up, you guys mentioned it, I pulled it up, and it looked like there's the golf course that is, it was right near the Porto Cima golf course.
Yeah, Porto Cima,
I'm thinking they probably thought, you know, golfing is probably less expensive than boating, so maybe they just parked and they went golfing instead. Maybe, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. When you flee a scene of an accident,
yeah.
usually means you're up to something.
Yeah, no kidding. You know? Yeah, when the boat's up on the shore like that and there's nobody around, there's nobody in it, yeah, there's a lot of suspicion. There's a whole lot of suspicion.
Do boats get stolen down there a lot?
You know what? I don't. That's
it's
a great
possibility. I'm sure
that does happen. I don't hear about it happening. You know, I never have heard that it's like a big issue down there. But I mean,
give them the benefit of the doubt. That could have been it. But
You know, this boat owner is going to make that claim to the insurance company. Mm-hmm. Hey, boat was stolen.
You got the money to have that boat. You got the money to get a pretty good lawyer.
I guarantee you, though, that there's going to be some video that comes out on that one because there's just too much. There's just too many things around that area that I'm sure that there's.
I don't know if that was daytime or nighttime either. I don't remember if it said.
But there's
article.
Even businesses. I wouldn't be that are near there. I wouldn't be surprised if there's just some security camera footage or you know if somebody
from
saw
the new Deerbergs up there on top. It might be able to see down to there. You know,
yeah, exactly.
That second story of the Deerbergs.
I'm a huge fan of boat names, and I want to know, Tony, what your boat name is, and yours too, Mike. But this one on the back of it looks like the letter D E E Z. And the only time I've ever seen that is D's Nuts. So I'm thinking, I can't see what the other word is, but I'm thinking it's called D's Nuts.
Very, very possible.
Yeah.
Very possible. Mine
Tony,
was
is that your boat?
No. Have you, do you name
Would you,
it? I do not. I've never named my boat. Do you have a name for your boat, Mike?
I had a name for the old Ranger just because I was fishing an old beat up boat against a bunch of guys with new boats. So I just called, my son actually called it from the Chappelle Show. It was the SS. Buck Nasty. So, and the guy that I sold it to still calls it the Buck Nasty. We
That's
didn't paint
great.
The Buck Nasty on it anywhere, but
right.
Along those lines, Bo, I'll tell you a funny story. There was an old beat up just boat that was on a half sunken lift, was taking on water, and it said the name of the boat was Daddy's Princess. And I was like, wow, he really loves you. You know, your boat's half sunken, all oxidized. It was ironic. And I never have my camera out when I'm out. You know, I keep my phone in a dry box somewhere so I don't have, A, I'm fishing, so don't call me. And B, I want to make sure it's secure, dry, and the battery's good in case I have an emergency. But I should have pulled it out for that and taken a picture because I just thought that was ironic.
Tony, I'm so disappointed. Right, you don't have a name for your boat,
no,
man.
No, I've never named my boat. I've thought about it before, but I've never officially named
it. I thought it was the rule.
My theory was always it's got to be big enough to sleep
exactly,
on before you name it.
Exactly, yeah. Fishing boats don't get named. That's always been my theory as well. Like, you've got to be
a yacht.
Yeah, exactly. So, before we let Mike go here, we talked about this on the show a little bit. If you haven't had a chance to yet, you can still go to Bo Matthews' Facebook page. You might have to go down a little bit, but he posted a picture that we've had some off-air debate about a carp that was caught in England, right, Bo?
Yes.
And it was the new, it was the, they set the record over there, the UK record for the largest carp. And when Bo sent me the picture, my immediate reaction was, that's either fake or chemically enhanced.
It looks like something, looks like someone
genetically enhanced, I think.
Compressed, it looks like someone injected compressed air into that thing.
Yeah. Does that
it
look,
does.
Does that look like a real, does that look like a real fish to you, Mike? Do you think that that's a real picture?
I don't, but I don't know what kind of crazy species are in the UK. And I know carp tournament fishing is a big deal in Europe. So somebody would call it out as fake in one of them carp tournaments, right?
It looks so unnatural. Carl, have you seen? Here it is.
It
have
does.
You seen this?
Doesn't look like it could possibly swim.
Exactly.
It's a, especially if it's a bottom athletic. Feeder.
Right, Bo. It's a bottom feeder. So it wouldn't, I don't know how it would get its mouth on the bottom when its belly is blocking it so much.
It's like 112
Carl,
pounds.
Something's wrong with that fish.
Yeah, it's fat.
Yeah, it's
way, way but yet, fat.
But yet, Tony, yeah, you didn't balk at the big catfish that was caught in the Mississippi.
Because that picture, that we had that guy who caught that 112-pound catfish, Wade Kaminsky, on the show a few weeks ago, the guy who caught the in the Mississippi River. And Bo,
didn't he catch it down by in front of the arch grounds in that area?
Yeah.
Is that where he caught it?
I think so, in the downtown area. Yeah, I believe he did. But yeah, when Bo saw that picture, his first reaction was Photoshop or fake, which I understand that reaction, and I'm having it here with this. But that fish at least was proportional. It was huge.
Sure.
It was huge, but it was proportional. This looks like
a prop.
Yeah, this looks like a 10-pound carp's head and tail surrounding like a beach ball.
It looks like a carp balloon is what it looks like to me, like a Mylar carp balloon.
Yeah, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, I don't even know how that fish would swim. I don't know how it would eat.
Not well.
Yeah, and it would
obviously
grow
too well.
It would grow the other way too, like.
Right.
Those types of fish, like the big catfish that we see in the
they
in
get
the
long
river.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah, they get long as well. They don't just
the big Asian carp are long
like a balloon.
They're not.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Well, it's creepy looking.
Go to Bo's Facebook and vote and let us know if you think that fish is real or fake.
Because I think people are afraid. I posted that about, I don't know, a while ago, and there's nobody making a comment about it. All I said was real or not, and nobody's making a comment.
Yeah.
So maybe the algorithms kicked me out.
We just put it up there a little bit ago, though.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
It's probably too close to fake news, and they shut you down.
apparently, according to the Post, it's the biggest car. It set the world record for the heaviest car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Which makes me even, it says 112 pounds.
I know I've got big carp. I mean, carp the size of my leg in my lake.
Yeah,
in my
but have you ever seen
here.
One grow
Bo,
like that?
Grass carp?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Yeah.
But have you ever
they
seen one do that? Grow like
no.
The belly like that?
No.
No.
Only if it not wants to emulate me.
And how did he catch it?
Come on, Bo, you're not that big. Yeah.
No line is going to catch that fish.
Yeah, that's a good point. Carp don't bite like regular fishing lures. They don't.
Oh,
like,
but they do. Yeah, they do. I've caught them on a bare hook before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but would your line be able to pull that fish in?
I don't know how that thing would fight. I don't think
probably not like a log. I would think like
right.
A log would be
exactly.
My guess.
Exactly.
I got a quick story. But do you have ever seen any bobcats out on your property?
No, but fox. We definitely see fox.
Well, I have a friend of mine up in Jerseyville. She sent me a picture yesterday. It's a big bobcat, and her son was coming from the machine shed to the house. And God love this. His name's Pete. God love him. He had the choice to run, poop his pants, or take a picture. And old boy took a couple pictures.
Wow.
Which I think when I was his age, well, first of all, when I was his age on my grandpa's farm, I was always strapped. I don't like snakes. So
right.
I wouldn't have been that afraid because I had a gun on me. But that's what I told her. It's time to get Pete. You know, Pete needs a 9mm when he goes to the machine shed. Apparently, if bobcats are out in broad daylight on your property.
Wow. No kidding.
And it's sitting right next. I'll send you the picture after this, Tony. It's sitting right next to his basketball.
Yeah, and we hear more and more stories about that, about bobcats and, you know, other animals like the brown bear situation in Missouri.
Right.
Like,
but there's a lot more of these snooping around in the daylight. He's up to something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Usually don't, they're not seen. You don't see them much because they're pretty sneaky.
Maybe it wasn't the neighbors that stole the catfish, Bo.
Right?
Maybe it wasn't the neighbors that stole all the catfish. Maybe it was the bobcats.
Well, we do have them in our area. In our valley, we can hear them screaming at night and stuff. It's pretty crazy.
There you go.
Yeah, when they put a kill on something, it's eerie, isn't it, Bo? The sound it makes? Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's like, it sounds like a human screaming. That's the weird part.
Yes, it does. Oof. It sounds like a woman. It sounds like a woman screaming. It absolutely does.
So, Mike, before we let you go, you mentioned Ten Horse Monty a little bit ago. Unfortunately, the your plans for your YouTube channel got kind of put on delay because of the whole world got put on delay in 2020. But I assume you guys are getting ready to fire that thing back up and get things going. So if people want to, this fall, keep up with you guys and watch you guys fish and prep and all that stuff, how can they do it?
TenHorseMonty.com. We'll be fired back up September, I think it's 13th and 14th. Me and Gabe are going. That's the tournament I was telling you about. That's Truman Lake of the Ozarks back-to-back.
Yeah.
Gabe will be going with traveling with me on that. But he has not stopped. Ten Horse has got more content than you can shake a stick at, as my grandmother used to say.
and T-I-N.
He is just slaying them.
Yeah.
Ten is in the metal.
Yes.
T-I-N. Horse Monty.
Ten Horse Monty.
So,
And Ten Horse Monty
content,
on YouTube.
Man, he has got some good stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah, check it out. Ten Horse Monty on YouTube, and you'll be able to see Mike fishing with Gabe and a bunch of those videos here coming up real soon.
And the old ones are still on there archived. Our hillbillies at the square table still out there to go watch us drink whiskey and tell fishing stories.
Good stuff.
We get a lot of comments on that. I was chewing tobacco and drinking whiskey, and that was one of the comments. This guy's impressive because I was spitting in one cup and drinking out of the other.
That's funny. Just don't ever get the cups mixed up. Don't ever do that.
Nope.
All right. That is Mike Marfell. Thanks for your time. Love talking fishing with you, Mike. We'll talk again to you real soon.
All right. You guys take care. Take care, Bo.
You do the same.
Yeah, you too, man. Send that picture.
Thanks. I will send you the bobcat. Take care, boys.
You too, man. That's going to wrap up another edition of the podcast exclusive here. Make sure you download both of our podcasts every week. We release podcasts every Friday and Monday. For producer Carl Middleman and my partner, Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.